What happens after the most significant event in human history? I'm Chris Montgomery, senior pastor at Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama, and welcome to Fraser 365. Today we're in a study called Victory, a journey from the cross to Pentecost. Our prayer is that through God's Word, you'll come to a greater knowledge today of what it means to be a disciple of Christ and live in the victory of His resurrection power.
Welcome to Day 50 of From the Cross to Pentecost. Today's devotional is entitled, Glorifying God. R.C. Sproul wrote, "We do not segment our lives, giving some time to God, some to our business or schooling, while keeping parts to ourselves. The idea is to live all of our lives in the presence of God, under the authority of God, and for the honor and glory of God. That is what the Christian life is all about." Our text for today is John 17, 1 through 5. It reads, "When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, 'Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given to him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." Some thoughts on today's text. Jesus knew that the hour had come for the reason he came. It was time for him to face not only the painful death on the cross, but to carry the burden of the world's sins. It was the designated time for the Lord to become the Lamb. See John 1:29. What did Jesus do first when it was time for him to face his most difficult situation? He prayed. If the Son of God sought the Father in prayer, how much more should we call out to God in prayer? So Jesus set his face toward his Father because he strongly desired to bring glory to God. Jesus knew that if God glorified his Son, then he could give the glory back to God. What does it mean for us to glorify God? The word for glorify found in John 17:1 is the New Testament word doxa. It means to offer praise and ascribe honor to God. You may have grown up in church and remember singing the doxology that began with, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him all creatures here below." Doxology comes from the word doxa and logos, which means word or speech. So, the doxology is the glory speech, or the word of praise ascribed to God. Therefore, Jesus was devoted in his prayer life and in his desire to bring praise and glory to God. Jesus shares a profound insight into salvation during his prayer to the Father. Jesus prayed, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." See verse 3. We do not inherit eternal life with Jesus because we know about him. Our salvation comes through knowing Jesus and experiencing a personal relationship with him. The word know in verse 3 is the Greek word ginosko. This word means to know somebody intimately. This word doesn't describe perfect knowledge, but rather progressive knowledge that develops over time through consistent effort. It is the same word used to describe the union between a husband and a wife. Those who know Jesus personally belong to his church, the bride of Christ. As we continue our relationship with God, we grow to know him better and love him more. Jesus continues in his prayer by telling the Father that he completed the work the Father had given him to do. Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave have provided everything we need for salvation. All that is left for us to do is believe in him by knowing him personally. We can also bring glory to God by following his will and finishing whatever work he has called us to do. Some questions on today's reading. What do we learn about Jesus' relationship with God the Father in this prayer? How does Jesus' request for the Father to glorify your Son, verse 1, challenge your understanding of glory? And finally, what are your thoughts on the following quote from David Guzik referring to Jesus' prayer in John 17? "Jesus lifted up his eyes when he prayed, This is a posture that we don't usually associate with deep prayer. We tend to bow our head and close our eyes. This shows us, then, that we should never confuse the non-essential customs of prayer with the essential aspects of prayer. Thanks for joining us today.